Blog Talk Radio.
Man resides in the brightly lit realm he assumes to be reality. But there is, unperceived by most, a netherworld. A place just as real, but not so clearly lit. An eerie side.
Tales of the Eerie Side, no less. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And Dale, I have not one, not two, but 12 Mountain Facts Dave Facts tonight.
Sweet. Mountain Facts Dave Facts. And a great CBS Radio Mystery Theater show. And we're accompanied by...
Hello? It is I, God the Ghoul, Blay Blay. It's CW here.
CW's not here yet.
You never know when CW will pop in on Saturday night.
Okay. I thought maybe she's here right before we clicking the button.
Yeah. No, she's a lady of mystery. You never know when she'll pop in.
That's right. Sometimes she pops in when we're not even on the air. It's amazing.
Like a week of smoke.
What an echo.
And we're climbing one more tonight, one more mountain.
Yes. Gar and I were starting to talk about that just before we went on the air. A really good episode of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater tonight.
Yep. What they were really talking about is their fear that I might start singing since I'm dressed up like a nun tonight.
That too.
Yeah.
That was kind of back burner,
you know,
but yeah, that was there.
And you always ask Dale, is there somebody... unique on the show tonight, on the Mystery Theater, and the answer is actually there is tonight. Alan Hewitt is the lead guy on this particular episode. Only was in 5 episodes of the Mystery Theater. Did a lot of stage, films, television, was a guest on most television, but you would probably know him, one thing you know from Disney movies, he was... Let's see, I get that down here real quick. He was in The Absent-Minded Professor. He was in Son of Flubber. He was in The Misadventures of Merlin Jones. He was in The Monkey's Uncle, The Horse in the Gray Flannel Suit, and The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes, and Barefoot Executive, all Disney films. I mean, he was in other films too, but those were when we were teenagers, pre-teenagers. Those movies were big in his live action. What we would also know him from, Dale, is he was the the Detective Brennan in My Favorite Martian.
Ah, okay.
So now you know exactly who he is because. Because we all tuned in to My Favorite Martian.
Yes, we did. Any oldster worth their salt should be familiar with Ray Walston.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
also
yes.
Also, was poop deck. He was a great poop deck pappy.
He was, and he was the devil in the musical. I think both on Broadway and the movie Damn Yankees. Or, excuse me, this is Radio Darned Yankees. And he was the devil in that.
And the Lady of Mystery has arrived.
Yes, climbing down. Yodeling, climbing down from the mountain just to get better reception.
That's right. The pickle, when we get to the top of the mountain, the pickle will yodel for us.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Heidi-ho.
Heidi-ho. Exactly. And you... Hello, everyone. CW. Hope everyone is well. Climbing from up the mountain, down the mountain, over the hill, through the woods, et cetera, et cetera. And you're talking about the devil. Yeah, there you go. And the devil, meaning who in Darn Yankees? Darn those Yankees?
Yeah, Darn Yankees. Yeah, the musical Darn Yankees. Yeah.
Oh, Oh, yes. The guy who was the devil, wasn't he in the movie My Favorite Martian?
TV show.
I think he may have had a cameo in there, but he was Uncle Martin in the TV series. He was the Martian in the TV series. And I do believe he did make a cameo in the movie. It was many years after that.
He held an on-stage distinction of being one of the first actors to fall off stage 17 times. The problem was that the show ended after the fifth run.
Yeah, that is always a problem. That's always a problem.
Oh, dear. Ouch. That's
you guys
ouchy.
Ever taken a digger off one of those stages? They're kind of high.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know.
We downshifted, according to Fogsbane. We downshifted. Okay.
We downshifted.
I'm ready.
But
I thought
it's
we
okay,
upgraded.
You know,
now we downshifted?
As long as we're downwind, we're okay. Upwind, you get all the snow. Downwind, it's the safer place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I blame the goat. I blame the goat.
Yeah, you don't want to be downwind from a goat.
That's the only thing the goat has to say about that.
All right.
I don't think you want to be downwind or upwind from a goat.
Yeah, no. Depends on what he's wearing. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They're good for cleaning up your shrubberies.
Well,
that's true.
They do have their purposes.
Oops. Yeah, and poison ivy, they're great at, because they rip it up from the roots and chew it down and they are not allergic to that the coating that poison ivy has.
There you go.
Now that's intriguing.
Yeah, Dave actually, I think Dave thought the show was called Goats on the Loose.
Yeah, we
when they did Ghosts on the Loose.
Mike Mace's house, and he called, and I thought he said he had ghosts on the loose, or goats, and he thought I said goats on the loose, and he went out and got a bunch of goats. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can rent goats to clear up your property.
You can, and that's what Mike Mace did, yeah.
Aw. They'll eat all the shrubberies.
Well, when they come to town, you always want to catch the ice capades because they have goats on ice, and that's some fun.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
And CW, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to last night's show, but especially catch the end, the Goon Show. It's just tremendous.
I did catch a snippet of that. That was the first time I'd ever heard the Goon Show. And, yes, it is howling good stuff. Howling good.
Yeah. We talked about it afterwards. We're definitely going to bring some more Goon Shows in. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah, so as the nun said, Sister Knucklebuster, when she was telling her, climb every mountain until you find your dream, then she proceeded to sing the entire class.
Uh-oh, Erie House sing-off coming. Careful.
Okay, here it comes. Here it comes.
Erie House, the sound of music.
The sound of Erie. Sound of Erie.
Yeah. Oh, the sound of Erie. Doe, a deer, a zombie, deer, et cetera. It's supposed to be Erie.
Doe, some money. We ain't got none.
None. Far. I'm so far in
the
desert. Ray,
the guy that we owe so much. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
the letter after us. We don't know nothing.
Nope.
But we know.
I'm working towards my strengths, and singing isn't one of them.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but I need to pump. Yeah, but I need to pump some iron to get my singing into gear, like Arnold. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I can see Arnold Schwarzenegger in the sing-off. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
Oh, a
deer, a female deer.
Female deer. Ray,
a cup of golden sun.
Far. It's too far. Get to the chopper.
Because I cannot spell. Oh.
Far. Get to the chopper.
We got a lot of radio tonight. A
whole lot of radio. Dead Man's Mountain from CBS Radio Mystery. And almost to the day... Okay, 49 years ago.
Yeah, because that's true.
Because it was originally broadcast.
Anyone? February 10th, 1974, episode number 35.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carlson. How are you today?
Oh, fine, just fine. How about yourself, Glenn?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thank you. Yeah. Now let's see what we've got here. Toothpaste, razor blades, prunes.
Something wrong.
Can we have a replacement checker for Gladys on number 5, please?
There are still a lot of people who laugh at prunes. But now, quite a few are finding out how good they really are. Because pound for pound, prunes have 8 times the vitamin A of the leading fresh fruit. And more iron, niacin, and vitamin B2 than the 5 leading fresh fruits. They're also a great natural source of quick energy.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, sir. I'm taking Gladys's place.
That's okay.
Let me see. Bread, milk, prunes.
Oh, boy. California prunes. The funny fruit that does so much for you.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sounds of suspense, to the fear you can hear, to the terrifying world of the imagination. I'm your guide for a journey up a mysterious mountain. Dead Man's Mountain is what it's called. Going is really no problem. It's coming down that separates the living from the dead.
Doctor, a man simply cannot age 40 years in one night.
I wish I knew what to tell you, Mr. Johnson. I saw George last evening at dinner. He was 35. This morning, he's close to 80.
But how could that happen?
He went where he had no business going, up Dead Man's Mountain.
Is there some kind of disease up there? Some germ, some virus that can age a man?
None that is known to science.
Then how do you account for it?
Probably the Indian legend is correct. Some evil spirit up there hates to be disturbed.
Our mystery drama, Dead Man's Mountain, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Alan Hewitt. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One.
Hi, son.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Junior.
Kellogg's Special K presents Junior Gives Up.
Junior, why aren't you eating your Special K? It's your favorite cereal.
Oh, just cause.
Just cause why, honey?
Just cause Darla said some evil things about it. That's just cause why.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Darla.
Hi, sis.
Hi, Junior.
Darla, what did you tell Junior about his Special K?
Daddy, all I told him was that Special K is good for him.
Yeah, and anything that's good for me never seems to taste good.
But, Junior, you already know that Special K tastes good.
Who do I believe? Darla or my taste buds?
What's that, son?
Oh, nothing, Dad.
Son, Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It's got minerals, vitamins, iron, and all those good, nutritious things. But it got to be so popular over the years because it tastes good, too.
You mean it's good for me and tastes good, too.
Right, son.
Right, Dad.
Right, Junior.
Right, Mom.
Right, indeed. Start your balanced breakfast with Kellogg's Special K. It's nutritious and delicious.
Right, Dad.
Was I embarrassed? Even though I used an adhesive on my dentures, they still came loose during dinner. And when I had to be...
This denture wearer should change to Cushion Grip, a soft, pliable, thermoplastic adhesive that even hot or cold liquids can't dissolve. That's why Cushion Grip lasts and holds dentures much longer than ordinary powder, paste, or cream adhesives you often must apply two or three times daily. For new long-lasting security, new comfort, change to Cushion Grip.
R.J. Johnson sits at his desk. Yes, the R.J. Johnson. The mysterious, the remote R.J. Johnson. I better explain that. His ways are mysterious, except when his plans include you. He is remote, except when he wants something from you. Then his presence can become an overwhelming reality. Some say R.J. is the richest man in the world. Some say he's the second, the third, the fourth richest. Does it matter? All we need to know is that on this particular morning, R.J. Johnson sits at his desk, as usual, and is formulating plans to buy or sell what? An industry? A government? Somebody's soul?
Parker, I want us to maintain our short position on Consolidated Industries. It's bleeding down steadily, and we should help depress it a bit, too. No, I'm not afraid of anything like that. They won't get a government contract. We can see to it. Pick up National Computer and Starlight Oil. I want our full concentration on those three. I'll call you back later. Yes, Mrs. Dollard. Come in.
Mr. Johnson. George Morrissey is here.
And about time. I want hourly reports on Consolidated, National, and Starlight. See to it that Parker can always reach me. Now, have Morrissey come in.
But, sir, about Morrissey.
Is there a problem?
Well, I...
You were saying?
Perhaps I should have said...
Mrs. Dollard, are you all right?
Perhaps I should have said... There's a man outside who claims to be George Morrissey.
Mrs. Dollard, you know George Morrissey.
I thought I did.
If there's any doubt, check security.
I did.
Then that settles it. He could never hope to get past the lobby elevators if he weren't George Morrissey.
Mr. Johnson, maybe what I'm trying to say is... There's a man out there. And I don't want him to be George Morrissey.
Have him come in here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Johnson will see you now. Do you see what I mean, Mr. Johnson?
Mrs. Dollard, is this your idea of a practical joke? Who is this?
Please, please, R.J., don't yell at her. I can't stand noise.
George?
Yes. George.
You can't be George.
Look at me, R.J. Look at me.
I can't believe it.
You don't want to believe it.
What happened to you?
Please. Please let me sit down.
He walked out of this office 3 weeks ago.
Yes, yes, 3 weeks ago.
He was a man of 35. And now...
Now I know. I know. I look in the mirror. I could be 75.
His hair is all white. He's wrinkled, stooped.
And that's not the worst of it. I feel 75. I couldn't even walk without this cane.
George, the first thing you have to do is tell me exactly what happened.
I was at Manitou Mountain getting the development deal set. And, R.J., listen, we'll have to forget it. Give it up.
What are you saying?
I'm saying forget it. Look at what happened to me. They said, all the locals, they said, the mountain was haunted. Terrible things would happen to anyone who went up there.
Talk sense.
Can't you believe your eyes, R.J.? Look at what happened to me.
George, start at the beginning.
I couldn't get anyone to drive up the mountain road. So I hired a car. I drove it myself. I drove it up the mountain and...
Yes, and?
And that's all I remember, R.J. I must have passed out up there.
But something did happen.
It's like a nightmare. I can't bring it into focus.
Just flashes of it. Terrible things.
Be specific. What kind of terrible things?
Shapes, forms, voices saying I was going to die. That my life was falling away, that it was disappearing.
What kind of shapes? What sort of forms?
I don't know.
What size were they? What color?
I don't know.
You say voices. What kind? High, low?
Jay, I don't
Were they men's
know.
Voices? Women's?
I can't remember. I can't
now pull
remember.
Pull yourself together.
Pull myself together. Look at me. I'm an old man. I've been robbed of half my life.
Now think. How long did you stay on the mountain?
I don't know. Somehow I managed to get the car turned around. I drove back to town. I found a doctor.
What's his name?
I don't know.
What did he say?
I can't remember. R.J., I came here to warn you. The mountain, it's haunted. It's cursed. Give up the project.
Mrs. Dollard, call Dr. Waterson.
No. No. Doctor can't help me anymore. But I can help you, R.J. Give it up. Give up the project.
Dr. Waterson? Yes. Keep him on fluids, and whatever you do, see that he remains absolutely calm. That was the resident.
About George?
No change in his condition.
Have you checked the local doctor? The one who saw him first?
Well, we called him. He reports he treated a man of about 70 for exhaustion.
That's all you could get out of him?
That's all he had to say.
And what have you got to say, Doctor?
We find that George Morrissey has the physical signs of a man in his 70s.
But you know very well he is not in his 70s.
Chronologically, no. Medically, yes.
Is there a disease that could age a man so radically in so short a time?
I would say a man could be ravaged by some psychic or physical attack, but here we have no signs of trauma. His tissues, organs, nervous system, circulatory system, they show the deterioration that could only be caused by aging.
Let's cut through all this, Doctor. How did it happen?
We don't know.
You don't know. Am I supposed to buy this nonsense about a haunted mountain, curses, and all that?
I don't have the answer, R.J.
Waterson, over the years, I have contributed millions for medical research. I bought this whole hospital for you. So, are you telling me that now, when I need some answers, I'm not going to get anything for my money?
I'm telling you that we have no answers at this time.
Is it possible that George could be faking?
Why should he want to fake?
Answer my question.
The answer's no.
I want to see him.
He's very weak. Is it important?
I don't make unimportant requests.
Well, just for a minute or two at most. And please, don't excite him.
I won the club championship, and I was named third team All-America.
George.
Girls, you should see how the girls would fall all over
George,
me.
Pay attention.
Huh? Oh, it's you, R.J. Listen.
No, George. Don't try to sit up.
But I've got to talk to R.J. Listen, R.J., are you listening?
I'm listening.
Here's what happens to you up there on the mountain. I remember, you see. Now I remember.
Yeah, R.J., don't excite me.
I accept full responsibility.
Up there on that mountain, I was told you will lose that which you value most.
Told? You say told? How? By whom?
I don't know.
How can we get anywhere if you keep saying you don't know? Think.
R.J., I order you from this room.
He's going to die soon anyhow. We have to get that information.
R.J., I will call security and have the guards throw you out of here.
No, Doctor. No, leave us alone. This is between R.J. and me.
What were you told, George?
I wasn't really told. It was more like a kind of feeling, an idea that seemed to seep into me. And I realized the most important thing, what mattered most to me, was my body.
Talk sense.
I'm talking sense, R.J. And I began to lose my body.
What do you mean, lose your body?
The way you really lose it. To old age. Only
Oh, God. Only I was losing it then and there. And all at once.
Is that what you think happened, Morrissey?
But look. Look, I got away from there, you see. I got away just before I would have died. But why? I should have stayed. Look at me. What good am I now?
Be calm and practical, George. We have the greatest doctors in the world here. We'll beat this thing.
You can still beat it, RJ. You can still beat it. Just don't go near that mountain. Just give up the project.
You wanted me, Mr. Johnson?
Has Parker called while I was out?
Yes, sir. He reported in. Consolidated stock is still falling.
That's good.
National Computer is rising. And Starlight Oil is doing well with the new government.
Tell him to increase our holdings by 10%. Now, cancel the rest of today and all of tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Call Chuck Daly. I want him here in 3/4 of an hour.
Sir.
What is it?
Well, Chuck's about to leave for Florida. His daughter's getting married this afternoon.
Tell him he is to fly me up to the Manitou Mountain area.
But, Mr. Johnson...
Now, what is it, Mrs. Dollard?
You can't go up to Manitou Mountain.
Why not?
You saw what happened.
What did happen?
You saw George Morrissey.
About George Morrissey. Either he caught a disease...
But medical science doesn't know of such a disease.
Medical science is constantly being surprised. Obviously, someone does not want me to develop the Manitou Mountain Resort Complex. And perhaps they managed to buy George Morrissey.
But I would bet my life on George Morrissey.
You must never bet your life on anybody, Mrs. Dollard. The nearest town to Manitou Mountain is Lafayette Center. Reserve a room for me there at the motel.
But he is George Morrissey. Fingerprints, dental records.
Reserve it under the name R.J. Smith.
Mr. Johnson... Are you going up there alone?
You know perfectly well, Mrs. Dollar, that the way to get something done is to do it yourself.
But isn't it dangerous for you to go?
Mrs. Dollar, I have complete freedom of action because, as you know very well, practically nobody on the outside has the faintest idea of what I look like.
How many days do you plan to spend with us, Mr. Smith?
Well, that all depends.
Oh? On what?
Do you suppose I could hire a car and driver?
Oh, let's see. I have some cards here. Pick out any name. Tell them Doris Evans over at the motel recommended you.
Do you mean I need a recommendation to hire a car?
Well, it's deer season. Can't expect a man to concentrate on his business.
I would think you can if you pay him and he recognizes his obligation.
Oh, well, I can see you're a very serious-minded person, Mr. Smith. What brings you up to our frivolous part of the world?
I intend to do some sightseeing.
Sightseeing?
Well, I hear you have some very beautiful country.
Oh, yes, we do have a lot of very beautiful country up here. Wild, unspoiled. And we aim to keep it that way, too.
Tell me, is there a doctor in town?
Oh, I hope nothing's wrong. I wouldn't want you to get sick on us while you're here.
No, I should just be checked every now and then.
Oh, well, we do have Doc Stallings.
Does he have office hours now?
His office hours are when he's not hunting or fishing. But I think he'd give up a chance at a 12-point buck for you.
Why?
Well, he doesn't get an opportunity like this every day.
To do what?
To treat the world-famous R.J. Johnson.
I see. How did you know
I... Oh, I'm sorry. Really, I shouldn't have given it away. After all, if you want to call yourself Mr. Smith, we should indulge that little conceit.
But how did you know?
Mr. Johnson... The whole town knows you're up here. Why, we've all been waiting for you.
We've all been waiting. Waiting for what reason? Had they also been waiting for George Morrissey? And George was only R.J. Johnson's hired man. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love, but if you're cold, the contact, the sooner the better.
Hey, I'm back. How's that cold?
Rotten. Get the contact?
Oh, I got everything. Contact, cold tablets, and this liquid.
Oh, no.
Honey, it's all cold medicine.
Well, sure, but it only takes one contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief from sneezing, drips, congestion. For that, I'd need 6 of your cold tablets.
2 every 4 hours.
Or 3 ounces of nighttime liquid.
1 every 4 hours.
Or just one contact. The tiny time pills do it.
Well, it's all cold medicine.
Those others contain antipyretic analgesics, the liquid antitussive and alcohol. They're not in contact.
Six or three or one. I'd choose the one contact.
Me too. And I'm the one with the cold.
Give me cold.
Six or three or one. When you catch a cold, take contact. Only as directed.
I didn't like the way that started out with, like, hey, it's just cold, baby. Cold medicine, baby.
I keep going back to the prunes.
The prunes.
Yeah, who knew that the new comic release in the grocery aisle would be avocado toast?
There you go.
Yeah, it could be. It just, you know, it sounds funny, just like prunes. But, you know, Dale, we can crank up some dramatic music for our first set. If you
yes. That's right. Tonight we have something really, really special for you. Mountain Facts, Dave.
Bum, bum, bum.
Mountain Facts. The Himalayas are a mountain range that began forming when pieces of the Earth's crust crashed together against each other 55 million years ago. Dave, fact, that must be true because my ex-mother-in-law said she saw it happen. Mountain fact. In Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, mountains are often represented as holy places where God reveals himself to human beings. Dave, fact. Maybe that's why every time I see a mountain, I say, holy crap! Mountain fact. There are three types of mountains. Mountains of accumulation, formed by volcanic eruptions. Folded mountains, formed by clashing of Earth's tectonic plates. And mountains of erosion, formed by extreme weather. Dave, fact. And don't forget the mountains at the Brown Street landfill that's made of trash. Mountain fact. Approximately 1,200 people attempt to climb Mount Everest every year, but only half reach the summit. Dave, fact. That's because most people don't make it past the Starbucks at the 15,000-foot level. That's it for the first set. Mountain fact. Dave, fact. It's hard to pass up that Starbucks, you know?
Yeah.
I know. Well.
Yeah. A nice warm latte. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like climbing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They also have the abominable snowman there.
Frappuccino.
They have the abominable snowman there as the busboy, so, you know.
Oh, there you go.
What more can you ask for?
Peanut butter frappuccino for me, please.
I keep thinking of the abominable snowman in the Warner Brothers cartoons.
I always think of that. I do always think of the Forrest Tucker movie. I like that.
I recall the first time I ever went to a Starbucks. I walked down and said, "Could I just have some coffee?" The guy looked at me like deer in headlights.
what's a coffee? Yeah,
coffee. I don't understand. Is that like a triple frappuccino, half calf, decaf latte with oat milk? I don't understand. Let me call my manager. Hey, man, he wants coffee. What?
I'm still trying to figure out how they milk oats.
Yeah, I do too, yeah.
Milk
yeah.
goats or oats?
Oats.
Well, we know how they can milk a goat, but they don't know how you can milk an oat or, you know, what is that, soy milk? How do you milk a soy, you know?
You got to sneak up on
it. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Them soy, and that they don't like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and that hemp.
Cold
that
hands.
Hemp.
Yeah.
Oh,
bad.
Well, wow.
So we have an interesting tale going on here.
This is intriguing. Man, right? This is a kind of very intriguing, sort of kind of shivery. If you remember the Rip Van Winkle sort of tale, that you know, just sort of spine-ching tingles.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
Brought to us by Sam Dan, who wrote more mystery theaters than any other individual. He wrote 311 scripts for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Holy cow.
That's some rat.
Essentially 311 45-minute scripts. Wow.
Let's see. So that was getting close to almost writing a script a day, 365 days a year, and wow.
Yeah. So, very interesting.
Well, we
very interesting indeed.
Got a couple more segments here for CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Dead Man Mountain. Let's get back to more of this chilling tale. We're chilling. Who fight those?
One of the world's wealthiest men sits in the tiny lobby of a small motel in an out-of-the-way village somewhere in the Adirondacks. And suddenly he feels that all of his money and power somehow seem to be very far away at this anxious moment.
You say the whole town's been waiting for me, Mrs. Evans?
Yes, we've been waiting.
Why?
Well, you own us now.
I own you?
In a manner of speaking, you own all the land that surrounds this village.
I would think of myself as more of a neighbor.
We don't think your plans for the area will make you a good neighbor.
You had your chance to protest against the project at the hearing.
And we did.
And after the legislature weighed all the pros and cons, they acted in the interests of the entire state, not your narrow provincial prejudices.
You really believe that, don't you?
I certainly do.
Well, we know why certain votes went a certain way.
Oh, do you? Suppose you tell me.
We know there was bribery and pressure.
Really? None of this was found by the special prosecutor's office.
Well, I must admit, though, I admire your courage.
My courage?
To come up here, all alone, without your thugs.
Oh, just a minute, Mrs. Evans.
Oh, they have clean fingernails, excellent manners, college degrees. But they help you to steal and cover your tracks. In that sense, they're no better than common thugs.
You really believe that, don't you? Now, let me set you straight. I have never done anything illegal.
Oh, you can't be serious.
No court has ever found me guilty of any crime.
Congratulations.
But here's what I am guilty of. Success. And this has earned me the envy and the hatred of millions of people. But that's human nature. I understand that. What I don't understand is the attitude of the people in this town. I'm not taking anything from them. I'm going to make every one of you rich. Can't you believe it?
Oh, yes. We believe it.
Do you have any idea how property values in this town will skyrocket when the development is here?
Yes, indeed.
Then why is everybody so unhappy?
You know, you remind me of my husband. My late husband, that is.
In what way?
He was an unsuccessful version of you. He also worshipped money. But he didn't know how to make it.
Now, what happened to your husband?
He went up to what your investment brochure calls Manitou Mountain. Dead Man's Mountain, we call it around here, and it... Well, it killed him.
How could the mountain kill him?
It's an old Indian legend. Unless your conscience is completely clear, that mountain will kill you. Well, it killed poor Sidney Evans, rest his soul.
Killed him? How?
He was discovered at the foot of it. He was completely shriveled.
There must be an explanation.
Doc Stallings never found it. He just wrote it up as death due to causes unknown.
Stallings is, after all, only a country doctor.
That's right, he is. Tell me, how do your high-powered city doctors explain Mr. Morrissey?
Well, you know about Mr. Morrissey.
Oh, the whole town knows about Mr. Morrissey. Poor Mr. Morrissey, he went up there. Something he had no business doing.
I must correct that. He had every business doing it. He was my agent inspecting my property on orders from me.
But the fact is, he went up there, and the mountain got him.
Have other people met with mysterious results after climbing that mountain?
Oh, very few and far between. We may be just country folk up here, but we learn from experience.
Are you Dr. Stallings?
Well, look who's here.
They said you'd be out fishing.
Well, that's never a bad guess, but it takes two, and the trout won't play.
I'd like to talk to you.
Sure.
I'm willing to pay you for a consultation.
Oh, I intend to charge you.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, aren't you going to come up here out of the water?
Well, you see, I got my eye out for a certain brown trout. So you just tell me your symptoms, and I'll decide whether I have to examine you.
An employee of mine. You treated him recently. George Morrissey.
Oh, him.
What happened to George Morrissey?
Well, I met him at the motel. It was a Thursday night. I go there for dinner whenever Doris Evans serves pot roast. Hey, you're lucky. She's having it tonight.
About Mr. Morrissey?
Oh, he was a serious kind of fella. Not like you. Same no-nonsense, let's get right down to it attitude.
I'm only interested in what happened to Morrissey.
Happened? Well, he wanted to hire somebody to drive him up to Dead Man's Mountain.
And nobody would do it.
That's right.
Why?
Well, you've been told why by now, I'm sure.
I'm asking you why.
I'll tell you the same thing.
That's impossible.
Why is it impossible? Oh, I see what you're thinking. It's all right for the simple-minded hicks up here to swallow that superstitious nonsense, but me, I'm a doctor, a product of a highly sophisticated, specialized education.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, think again, because I believe it, too.
There has to be a reasonable, logical, rational explanation for what happened to George Morrissey.
Oh, there is, there is. He offended the spirit of the mountain.
Oh, you consider that reasonable, logical, rational?
Would you feel better if I said there's something up in that mountain, a virus, a bacillus, a fungus, which somehow causes immediate aging?
It would be a more rational explanation.
You mean more acceptable.
I want to know what you believe. And I'll pay you for it.
I believe the evidence. If you go up there, you can die.
But why?
Because a great spirit lives up there and he values his privacy.
That's impossible.
I saw George Morrissey at dinner one night. A vigorous, athletic-looking man in his 30s. I saw him again the following evening. A broken old man, half dead.
And you explain it with this half-baked legend.
Well, how do your city doctors, with all their modern facilities, explain it? Your Dr. Waterson, a world-famous diagnostician, he called me. He asked me.
This thing has to be cleared up.
Why? What's wrong with a nice, quiet mystery?
If word of this becomes general, it can destroy the entire project.
Uh-huh. Is that bad?
Millions of people will be deprived of an opportunity to enjoy healthful recreation in a fresh country environment.
But it won't be fresh country, you see. You'll have super highways and smoke and noise and honky-tonk resorts.
I'm convinced that you people are up to something.
Well, you tell me what.
I don't know. But I assure you, I have the resources to find out.
Well, if you ever do, let me know.
Well, did you find Doc Stallings?
My secretary should have called me on the hour.
Oh, she did. We serve dinner till 9:30, but the best time to eat's around 6. From then on, it's leftovers.
I'll have a sandwich sent up to my room.
Oh, you're joking.
I don't tell jokes.
You mean all you want for dinner is a sandwich?
Mrs. Evans, food is merely fuel. The body is just a machine, and so my tastes are very simple.
Whom do rich men think they impress when they say they have simple tastes? Do you have a wife?
I never married.
Oh? Well, so far we've eliminated wine and women. I can see by looking at you that there isn't too much song. Well, what do you do with all your money?
I make it grow.
Well, whatever you do, don't go up that mountain.
I don't think I need any more advice from anyone around here. I would like to place a call to New York.
You go up that mountain, and when you come down, you'll be penniless.
You have my secretary's number there. Please put it through.
Just remember, I told you.
It's exactly 5 minutes past 4, Mrs. Dollard.
I know that, sir.
Why haven't you heard from Parker?
I'm expecting a call any moment.
Any moment was not his orders. I specifically directed him to report on the hour.
Yes, sir.
Why is there a delay?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Mr. Johnson, I'm only human.
What did you say, Mrs. Dollard? Mrs. Dollard? Operator? Operator! Now, see here, Mrs. Evans.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, I was just trying to reach your room.
I've been cut off in the middle of a crucial telephone call.
Carlotta, the phone company operator, she just told me that we can't get through to New York for a bit.
What are you saying?
Well, you've seen those signs along the roads. Look out for falling rocks. Well, we just had a pretty good slide on Route 640.
But I must talk to New York.
A lot of wires are down, but Ed Bailey and his boys will have it fixed before long. Oh, hi, Doc.
Hello, Doris. And why does the celebrated R.J. Johnson look so agitated?
Well, he can't make a phone call.
Oh, my. You know, Mr. Johnson, as a physician, I have a prescription that could keep you healthy and happy for years.
Doctor, I'm in no mood for your folksy philosophy. I have to make a phone call.
Don't you want to hear my prescription?
How long will it take to repair the lines?
Sure. Maybe an hour.
An hour?
Maybe less.
I would prescribe the following. Chuck it all, Mr. Johnson. Give it up. Settle down here. And marry Doris.
Oh, I'm not sure I'd want to marry him, Doctor.
I'm not out to marry anybody.
Oh, why not?
What's going on in this town? Are you people crazy? Where's the police station?
The police station?
Well, we do have a sheriff.
Send for him.
What do you want the sheriff for?
There has to be some kind of plot. Where can I find the sheriff?
Oh, you don't have to find him. He's coming in the door right now. Hi, Elwood.
Evening, folks.
A gentleman here wants to see you, Elwood.
Yes, sir.
Sheriff, I need your help.
That's what we're here for, sir.
My name is R.J. Johnson.
Pleased to meet you.
Sheriff, these people are trying to... These people are trying to...
Yes, sir?
These people are out to do me harm.
Which people?
Among others, these two.
Yeah, but Doc Stallings here is the greatest guy you'd ever hope to meet. Matter of fact, he takes care of me. And I personally vouch for Doris. She's my sister.
A very nice, tidy little town. And the natives are so friendly and obliging. And so concerned with your well-being. But right now, R.J. Johnson feels overwhelmed by their solicitude, as if he is being literally killed with kindness. We'll return shortly with Act Three.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive Beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in that clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I'm Art Linkletter, and I'd like to talk about something that everybody loves. Babies. Play School has introduced a group of fascinating baby toys. Play School, a Milton Bradley company, has been making toys for generations of preschool children. And their baby toys are just terrific. They're fun and safe. Babies will love the baby action ball. They can grasp it, roll it, shake it, or throw it. The baby mirror of unbreakable stainless steel introduces them to the most important person in the world when they look into the mirror, themselves. The Play School toddler truck is great for baby to scoot around in. And it even has a miniature telephone for babies' first phone calls. My children are grown up now, but if they were babies, I know what I'd want them to have, the Play School baby toys. Your children are going to love making discoveries every day with Play School's new baby toys. And every day is a good day to make a baby happy.
Just so they're not talking to their dead grandma on the telephone, you know?
Yeah, I like playing with different kind of baby.
That's the beginning of the meme.
Well, you know what it's time for now, don't you?
I have a clue, All right. Mountain fact, 20% of the world is up a mountain. Day fact, the other 80% is up a tree. Mountain fact, of the around 80,000 World War I troops serving near the Alps in Austria, nearly 50% died in avalanches instead of combat. Day fact, that's why if I ever have to fight a war, I want to be assigned to the Bahamas. Mountain fact, mountain goats are able to climb higher than most humans can climb due to their unique cloven hooves equipped with two toes that can spread wide to increase their ability to balance. Day fact, that sounds exactly like some of my ex's relatives. And mountain fact, mountaineering became a sport in the mid-19th century as people sought escape from the grind of industrialization. Day fact, I prefer that mid-20th century sport of drinking beer in front of a television. That's that set.
Eenie, meenie, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
They are.
It looks
they
like
are.
Gar is getting ready for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul right after our show tonight.
Yep.
Right, on
yep.
those
yep.
twitches.
Right, I'm yep. in there twitulating stuff.
Yeah, I'll be twitching there tonight, and I know I'll see good old Bob and Foxbane there as well. So, we will move from one room to the next here.
Absolutely, and everyone on the other podcasts that are out there broadcasting this riveting podcast show, feel free to twitch over to see Gar the Ghoul.
There you go.
See horror hosting live, and right there, I mean,
yeah,
live.
That takes a lot of courage to be able to just go live like that every week that he does. It's just absolutely amazing. I give him all the credit in the world, I tell you.
Absolutely. Props.
He's one of the few doing it live and doing it, successfully.
Yeah.
He's pulling it off.
I mean,
he's doing it.
You would have the courage to probably do that. Maybe not weekly, but you'd have the courage to do that. I like having it in the can so I can clean up some of my mistakes.
Yes. It is so much better when you can clean stuff up in the editing room.
Yes, absolutely.
Stop giggling.
Absolutely. Not that we make many mistakes. Oh, yeah, we have a blooper reel after every show. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
That's okay.
It's okay.
So
we got bonus material tonight. We've got, six more Mountain Facts, Dave Facts, and
another segment.
Yep. Final segment.
Just what a treasure tonight is, I tell you.
You'll be glad you tuned in.
It looks like he's getting ready to. Looks like he's getting ready to head up that mountain pretty soon. Up Dead Man's Mountain.
Dead Man's Mountain.
Ooh,
Dead Man. Radio Mystery Theater. Let's wrap it up. Come on, go.
Are the people of Lafayette Center the kindly, generous-hearted folks they seem to be? Or is this a place of evil where death waits for strangers, especially a wealthy stranger like R.J. Johnson?
How are these good people out to harm you, Mr. Johnson?
I don't know, Sheriff, but something is going on. And I demand protection until I can get some of my own people up here.
You got to appreciate my position, Mr. Johnson. There's nothing I can do unless you make a charge.
Well, we're only trying to help him, Elwood. You see, I look at this man's face and I hear the tension in his voice and I see his color, you know? So I say to him, change your way of life. Settle down up here. Is that harming him?
Well, it doesn't seem like it.
I recommend a more regular routine.
And we both keep warning him, stay away from Dead Man's Mountain.
Mr. Johnson?
Think about... For reasons best known to yourselves, you people are determined to keep strangers at a distance.
Oh, we'd only be too happy if more folks would move up here.
And so you invented this nonsense about a cursed and haunted mountain.
But why?
You know why, Sheriff. Because to any man of intelligence and courage, it presents a challenge. But before a man goes up there, you prepare him.
Well, gentlemen, you can stay and listen to all this. I've got to serve dinner.
By all means, Mrs. Evans. We can continue this discussion at the table.
Oh, I thought all you wanted was a sandwich.
Oh, no. Tonight, I'm having all the trimmings.
Here you are, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
Pot roast, mashed potatoes, peas and carrots.
Now, that's a cure for whatever ails you.
Hold on. Dr. Stallings, change plates with me, please.
Why? It's the same portion.
Except I always give you a little bit less, Doc.
Would you mind changing plates, Doctor?
No, not if you tell me why.
Since I'm going up to the mountain, there could be something in this food. A drug, perhaps.
Oh, I like that.
Very well, Mr. Johnson. Here, have it your way.
You say you're going up the mountain?
Yes.
After all we told you?
I'm going up that mountain to prove that it's just an ordinary piece of undeveloped country real estate.
Can you stop him?
Why would everybody want to stop me?
Well, look what it did to your Mr. Morrison.
Suppose, for the sake of argument, there is something dangerous up there. And it gets me. Isn't that to your interest? Without me, there can't be a development project.
Well, we have a more basic interest. We have obligations as human beings.
Well, now, I will need a car. There's a road, I assume.
Oh, yes, sir. Leads up to the top.
But why go now? At night?
Because the word should get around. R.J. Johnson drove up this dead man's mountain, as you call it, in the dead of night, and just as calmly drove down again.
But, Mr. Johnson,
you
really...
have something to learn, Mrs. Evans. You think a man becomes rich through trickery, violence, and all manner of illegal, immoral, and unethical acts.
I never said that.
But you believe it. Tonight, you're going to discover how I became rich. By daring to do what other people consider impossible. It's that simple.
I would still advise you to keep away from that mountain.
Let's end the little game, Doctor. I've humored all you people long enough.
Well, very well. How do you account for George Morrissey?
Very simple. George Morrissey is not R.J. Johnson.
Oh.
Does the spirit of the mountain, going along with the legend, kill everyone whose conscience is not clear? Very well. I'm safe. My conscience is unblemished.
Elwood, I still think you should stop him.
The sheriff has no right to interfere. I'm merely inspecting my own property.
Well, he's right, Doris.
A little exercise in morality here. Who would care to accompany me? You look down on me. You are the pillars of virtue. You mean there isn't a clear conscience among the three of you?
I'll drive you.
Doris.
Doris, what are you saying?
He's challenged us.
But, Doris, you know you can't fight the mountain.
Well, we can't let somebody else get killed up there either.
Well, what can you do?
Well, at the first sign of anything suspicious, I can turn the car around. Mr. Johnson, you've got yourself a driver, and I suggest we leave right now. The moon goes down early around here.
First, I have to call New York.
But the lines are still down.
How do you know?
Carlotta will let us know when they're fixed.
Maybe I'd better wait.
Oh. Don't tell me you're starting to have second thoughts.
I have some very important things to check out.
Well, we can drive to the top of the mountain and back again in an hour.
How do you know? Have you done it before?
No. Just a guess. And I'm ready if you are. Well?
What is it, Mrs. Evans?
Well, we're here. We're at the foot of Dead Man's Mountain. And there, you see, on your right, is the dirt road that leads upward.
How far?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, what are we waiting for?
You won't change your mind, Mr. Johnson?
No.
I still don't understand why you have to do this.
This is another reason why I'm a rich man. I buy stock nobody else believes in. I finance schemes other people think are harebrained. I back men no one else will work with. And I climb mountains everyone else is scared by.
I'm climbing this mountain, too.
Then you also deserve to be rich.
Well, do we go ahead or do we turn back?
One must always go ahead, Mrs. Evans.
Then, here goes.
How do you feel, Mrs. Evans?
All right. I guess.
You guess?
How do you feel?
I don't have to guess. I know. I feel great. It should be interesting.
What?
Let's assume all you people are right. This mountain is haunted by a great spirit who strikes down all who have guilt. Which one of us do you suppose he'll strike down?
Well, I don't have a guilty conscience.
I wonder about that. I heard the doctor say you had a weakness for men with problems. Your late husband. Maybe he didn't have problems. Maybe you had the problems.
Well, we all have problems.
Stop for a moment.
What's the matter?
I think I heard somebody.
I haven't heard a sound.
Listen.
RJ, I'll have the security guards throw you out of here.
It's Waterson. Dr. Waterson. What's he doing up here?
Who's Dr. Waterson?
He's looking after George Morrissey.
I'll throw you out of here.
Didn't you hear him?
There's no one around but you and me.
Now that I think of it, that's a strange way for Waterson to talk to me. He would never have the guts to say that unless he knew something.
Look, I think we'd better turn around.
No. I think I'm learning something. Waterson. Do you know that Waterson is Parker's son-in-law?
Well, who's Parker?
My administrative assistant. He executes all my orders. Suppose Consolidated Industries is not going down. Suppose it's starting to go up. Suppose Parker is still holding.
Oh, come on, Mr. Johnson. Just relax. Now, if it's too much for you up here, let's turn back.
Tell me, Mrs. Evans, how did you know I'd be here?
Well, we just assumed.
No one told you.
Who would tell us?
A pilot. My pilot.
I didn't even know you had one.
He may have been put out because I made him fly me here on his daughter's wedding day.
Oh, well, that really wasn't nice.
I pay him enough, but he didn't tell you.
No.
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Just listen.
I'm only human, Mr. Johnson. I'm only human.
Why would she answer me like that if she didn't know something?
I don't hear a thing, Mr. Johnson.
I'm only human. I'm only human. Let me tell you about her. She's quiet. She's almost mousy. But she's ambitious. I can tell. I've made her a rich woman. She's in on it. She's in on it, too. She and Parker and Morrissey. They worked it out. And you're in on it, too.
Me?
They wanted me out of the way. And so all of you got together. You worked up this phony scheme.
Look, we're going to turn back.
Answer the phone.
What phone?
Answer it. Hello?
Mr. Johnson, I have the latest quote on Consolidated. It's going up.
It can't go up.
It's gone up 5 points so far.
Get Parker. Close it out. Close it out.
I can't find Parker.
Get him. Get him! Mrs. Dollard! Mrs. Dollard!
Who are you talking to?
My secretary. She hung up on me.
How could she hang up? There's no phone.
Consolidated is going up.
But there's no stock market at night.
Mr. Johnson, it's going crazy. National Computer is going down.
Have Parker sell at once.
I can't find Parker.
Mrs. Dollard. Mrs. Dollard! She's gone again.
Listen to me, Mr. Johnson. Please listen.
Do you know how much money I've lost so far?
Please, listen. You have nothing to be afraid of. It's just a legend. Who can be sure it's true? Oh, sure, we local people push it to scare away developers.
I feel weak. As if I lost a lot of blood.
Listen. You're R.J. Johnson. You're not to be taken in with this superstitious nonsense. Fight it off!
I can't. I'm trying. But all my strength is going. My money. Disappearing.
Your money isn't your strength.
It is. It is. I have nothing else. Please, answer the phone for me. I can hardly lift the receiver.
The rebel government just nationalized Starlight Oil.
What did you say? Mrs. Dollard. Mrs. Dollard.
Mr. Johnson, we're leaving.
What? It happened. Everything I was afraid of happened. Consolidated went up. National went down. And Starlight...
Nothing happened. It's all your imagination. Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson! Come to me! Mr. Johnson!
He's dead.
How? Why?
Doris, I don't know. There isn't a mark or a sign on him. It's as if all the force and vital energy just left his body.
Well, maybe it's all for the best. He was in trouble.
Trouble?
It was on the news. Some of his holdings went haywire for some reason. Three big companies. He's out millions. He may have died just in time.
The mountain. The mountain.
What about the mountain?
It's true. Every word we say about it. It's true.
Oh, come on, sis. How can it be true?
The mountain killed him. He took away his money.
Doris, are you all right?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I wonder. What did it do to me?
Well, what did it do to Doris? Everybody loses what he values most up on Dead Man's Mountain, as the saying goes. Maybe Doris had fallen in love with RJ, and thus the mountain robbed her, too. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
For heaven's sake, this store won't give me back my $25 for the ice skates. All they would give me is this credit slip, and they don't even have any more skates in my size. Oh, what am I going to do?
Madam, not all stores make cash refunds on returns, you know.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, only some stores will make refunds because it's their policy to do so, not because they're required to do so. Next time, remember, find out about a store's policy on refunds and exchanges before you buy.
I guess you're right.
Well, you know, it's just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Haunted mountains. Did this one cause certain stocks to go up and down one day recently? It certainly seems no more far-fetched than some of the explanations people have for the market. The cast in our exercise in The Extraordinary included Alan Hewitt, Rhina Rayburn, William Redfield, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
The only way to learn how to swim is to jump in the water, right?
I simply can't make you understand, can
well,
I?
Well, maybe I can make you understand. Ah, forget it. You want to get that dinner ready? I'm hungry.
Yes, yes, I'm going now.
Why don't you change first?
Change?
Yeah, your clothes. Get more comfortable.
Yes, I think I'd like to do that, George. I won't be long.
George! George, there's a dog on our bed! A horrible big dog!
I'll take take it easy. That's my surprise. That's it. Tell
him. Get him out of here. Please, George. Take him away.
It's only a dog, for Pete's sake. He's not going to hurt you.
Get it out. George, please.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KRLD's Mystery Theater presents seven thrilling dramas each week. Sundays at 4:07 in the afternoon, then nightly at 10:07, except on Tuesday and Saturday nights when the basketball broadcasts necessitate delaying the mysteries until midnight.
How dare those basketball games get in the way of this fine entertainment? Why, they have a lot of nerve.
Knife.
Preempting this fine, fine show.
Yep, and yep. I guess we even have something we perhaps can learn from this fine episode of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Erie House Radio proudly presents A Garless Moral of the Story.
With apologies to Gar, mountain climbing can be dangerous, even if you're climbing it in a car. That's it.
Yep. And yep, yep. If that wasn't enough, our third set of mountain facts, Dave facts.
Yes, our last and final set, because it is when it's last, it's final. Mountain fact, mountains are spread far and wide. Dave fact, so is my waistline, but you won't hear me bragging about it. Mountain fact, mountain goats can jump 12 feet in a single bound. Dave fact, so Superman can leap over tall buildings. Mountain fact, believe it or not, it's not Everest or K2 that's the most visited mountain. It's Mount Takeo out in Tokyo, Japan. And Dave fact, that's because there's a really good sushi bar at its peak. And mountain fact, the first manual for how to ascend beyond the snow lines of the Alps was written in the late 16th century, although during that time period, mountain climbing was seen as foolhardy. Dave fact, I feel the same way about that 24-hour workout place. And that's it! Save that.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
There we go. There we go.
Yes. Yell from the mountaintop.
And yeah, we have more time left. So much more fun to happen yet in this show. It's unbelievable.
Incredible. Incredible.
How do we pack it all in there?
Oh,
just magic. It's called magic.
Magic.
And pitchforks.
Magic. And pitchforks.
Yeah, that helps.
And sardine can. It's compacted just like Spam. Spam it in that can.
Spam, 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 spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
Spam, spam. My spam, spam.
I hate to keep dwelling on the Goon Show, but gosh, it's so easy to see how so much other British humor was influenced.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or even inspired by, I would say.
Oh, yes. Monty Python had to be inspired by the Goon Show.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Ah, oh, there it is. Okay.
With all due respect, baby.
Well, you know what? Before we hit the wheel in the jukebox, I do have something I'd like to share with everyone. This is a weirdness sketch that I wrote several years ago and did with Phil Ferguson, who's a local broadcaster here. And because tomorrow is the Super Bowl, it always reminds me of the sketch and I always bring it up and play it myself. I'm going to share it here with everyone tonight. It's about the calling of the last 2 minutes of a football game. And in this particular sketch, everything that happens on the field is sponsored by something. Now, when you watch football games and baseball games especially, everything that happens has a sponsor to it. Well, so does everything that happened on this particular football game. And that's what we're going to hear right now.
And we're back with the battle between the Weirdnessville Wildflowers and the West Pasture Mad Cows. Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Ferguson, along with my broadcast partner, Dave Bigby. We are back for the last 2 minutes of this classic contest.
That's right, Phil. And this two-minute warning was brought to you by Edwards Egg Timers. 2 minutes is really important to you. You need it, Edwards Egg Timers.
Well, it looks pretty bad for the hometown Wildflowers. They find themselves on the wrong end of a 22-17 score. And this last drive, the Mad Cows have been really milking out that clock.
Oh, and you know what? This milked-out drive was brought to you by your local Dairy Place convenience store. Dairy Place, your one-stop shop for gasoline, booze, cigarettes, and lottery tickets. We have everything but dairy products.
The Wildflowers' last chance is to get the ball back before the Mad Cows get another first down. The snap. Brandon hands the ball to Whiskers, who tries to run outside, pushed out of bounds by Murphy.
Oh, and out of bounds is brought to you by the Not Just Lunch dating service. The best way to go out of bounds, not just lunch.
Well, there was a pickup of 5 yards on that play. That did stop the clock with a minute and a half to go. Brandon lined up behind center. The snap. Looks like Brandon will hand it off to Whiskers again. Whiskers tripped up on that play, gaining 1 yard.
Oh, and that trip up was brought to you by Nelson's Loafers. No tripping over our shoelaces. Nelson's Loafers.
Oh, I can't believe it. What a bad spot. They placed the ball, giving the Mad Cows an extra yard on that play.
Well, you know, and that bad spot was brought to you by Professor Rufus's Spot Remover. Not only does it remove any bad spot, you can also cook squash in it. So that's Professor Rufus's Spot Remover.
Third and three with 1:10 left on the clock. And it is still ticking. You would think that the Wildflowers perhaps would use up their last time out.
You know, that's right, though, because saving time is like saving money. And the best way to save money is at your local dog trust bank. If you can't trust a dog, who can you trust?
Well, the clock down to just 50 seconds, and Brandon takes the snap. Dudley breaks through the line, chasing down Brandon, throws him down for an 18-yard loss on that sack.
That sack is brought to you by the Sack Shack. Paper, plastic, your choice at the Sack Shack.
That takes the Mad Cows out of field goal range, and now the Wildflowers take their final timeout. 35 seconds remaining.
Ooh, and that timeout's brought to you by the watch shop around the corner. If your watch is stopped, bring it to us at the watch shop around the corner.
Well, the Mad Cows have no choice but to run this play. If they don't get the first down here, they will turn the ball over on downs, and the Wildflowers will have one or at best two shots at the end zone with no timeouts. Brandon, back in the shotgun, gets the snap. He's got great protection. Looking downfield, pumps one, now throws the ball. Looks like Myers will get the first down if he can pull it in. Flynn steps in front of Myers, intercepts the ball.
Oh, and that interception's brought to you by your friendly repo service, where we take it back with a smile, your friendly repo service.
Myers running along the sideline. Looks like he could go all the way.
And if you want to go all the way, you need to take the This Little Piggy Taxi service, where you can go wee, all the way home.
Well, he's to the 15, the 10, 5, touchdown!
And touchdown's brought to you by the Bowtie Singles Bar, where you're guaranteed to score by last call.
The final gun, the Wildflowers win it 23-22.
And you know, Phil, that final gun is brought to you by Billy Bob's Gun Shop. We never miss fire.
Well, Dave, you could not ask for a more exciting finish than that.
Not without having a heart attack, Bill.
Once again, the final score, Weirdnessville Wildflowers 23, the West Pasture Mad Cows 22. For my broadcast partner, Dave Binkley, I'm Phil Ferguson. Have a good night. We will see you next week on the Weirdness Game of the Week.
And next week is brought to you by Mary's Calendar Kiosk at Southtown Mall, where we can give you a month of Sundays.
Good stuff, Dave.
That was fun. Oh, my gosh, that was good.
That was fun. Phil and I had never worked together on that, but I got him the script. He thought it was clever, so he came down and did. After that, we did like 4 golfing sketches. I wrote a bunch of – he said he's a big bowling fan, so I wrote some 4 bowling sketches for him. We never got that filmed yet. I'll have to get after him.
He did an awesome broadcaster, sports broadcaster voice.
Yeah, well, he was started off here in Akron. We had we did have a local TV station at the time, WAKC. It was WAKR-TV, the night WAKC-TV, and then they sold off to the shopping network. But he was the sports director there. He has worked, actually, with PBA during certain area PBA events. Of course, it's a little quieter when you're bowling than you are at a football game, but I thought he was fabulous in this, absolutely fabulous.
I remember WAKC, Dave. We could get it up here a little weak sometimes, but we could get it up here.
And you didn't really need, because it was ABC, and we already had WEWS, which was an ABC. So, but there were some local things here upon occasion. So
there were, and there were differences. And I even remember there were certain nights they would show horror movies. They could have been one of the Sunday or Monday night channels showing cool movies at night.
Okay.
Unhosted, but showing them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And those CBS certainly, was showing a lot of the Hammer stuff, like in the 70s, on Sunday nights.
Beautiful example of how to inundate a show with commercial after commercial after commercial.
Yes. Now, I am
sports has become that. It's not far from comedy.
I'm telling you, yeah, especially the wireless call to the bullpen when I see a wire on the end of the phone they're calling with. Anyway, I wrote another sketch about the same time about a baseball game. And I've never been able – I've sent it to a couple different people, including just recently I rewrote it for Mark Kuntz. Remember, he used to be a weatherman here in Cleveland, Dale, and went to Youngstown, retired – but he's down in North Canton, lives next door to one of the people I work with. And so I redid it for him and sent it off, and along with, say, you know, hey, check out our website to see that what we're doing here. And never heard back from him. So for some reason, here's the premise of it. Maybe the premise keeps them away. But what it is that we're in a rain delay. We got to the bottom of the fourth inning, and the home team is up. And there are two outs and two strikes and runners on, I think, second and third or something like that.
Yeah.
And they either need one run, one hit, or one out to call it an official game. And
right.
So they've gone for 2 hours. And they ran out of things to talk about a long time ago, so they just start drinking. And that's the premise of this sketch. And I think it's funny. I don't know why I can't get somebody to do, you know, because I'm looking for a broadcaster type thing. I may approach Ray Horner, but again, maybe because he's on the air currently, he does. Well, maybe people think of Drake, but they know he doesn't. So maybe I'll approach him about that. Rewrite it for Ray and stink to you, Mark Kuntz. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Or, you know, if you want to remove the booze aspect, you could say you're so boring, you start hearing them crunch on, you know, munchies on air, you know, a crunch sound.
Yeah.
A crunch sound drives the sound person nuts.
Yeah, except the whole thing is so we keep drinking and getting a little bit more drunk, and by the time there, I think it's coffee, and then... Yeah, anyway,
it sounds like fun.
So, but I'm going to get that one filmed this year. I got to get that one. It's a good script, and I just have to get, I've been really looking for a broadcast, and Ray Horner does some local football games. So I'll have to reach out to Ray and see if he would at all be interested in doing this. So
many thanks to good old Bob and Fogsbane for sticking with us in the chat throughout the night.
Oh, yes, and everyone else, all the netizens out there listening at various podcasts all around cyberspace.
Yep, and my buddy Chris out there in Texas.
And all those out there in the archive listening in. Just keep us going.
In Sweden.
Keep
us going. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Time for maybe a quick tune here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We got quickies there.
He came from the quarters.
Well, I happen to have a Dutch elm coin right here at my fingertips.
Dutch elm disease. Pop it right in there.
There it goes. Clink, clunk.
And now, a little rhythm song by Irving Berlin is called Me and My Melinda.
Forgetting.
Well, forgetful are you?
Yeah, and so are we, all of us. Yep. That's right. It's all about forgetfulness with the Green Hornet, Let George Do It, and Theater 5. That's Friday at 6:30 Eastern. Then on Saturday, more CBS Radio Mystery Theater with a hard-to-forget story called Ghost Talk. Ooh. It'll be next Saturday here at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And what, in 3 days, it's Valentine's Day, so
break out
snuggle up with someone or something you love, even if it's you.
And a box of chocolates.
And a box of chocolates, there you go.
Oh, boy, what a surprise. I bought myself a box of chocolates. I hope I don't spoil it for myself.
Mm-hmm, oh, chocolate and insulin. There we go. There's a wild ride.
There we go.
I just became, after years and years, I just got reacquainted with A&W diet. Root beer.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Oh, wow. They still make that?
Yes.
In bottles, yeah. And cans. So I am going to, after the test ride, I bought one bottle. Now I'm going to go back and get some, and I'm thinking root beer float, maybe with a little Kahlua. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's your latte.
Yeah, just imagine going to the A&W stand way back when and your child's coming back teetering over. Oh, no, this A&W tastes a little different, Mom.
You'll sleep.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Good night,
there's
Mom.
No one left.
Good night,
but
there.
Me and him.
And her.
Until next we meet
watch
in
it.
Frankenstone.
Her. I'm here, her.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Yep, I dig it. I really do dig it.
Saturday Night Live. Can you dig it? I knew you could.
There you go. Fun show tonight, guys. Fun show tonight.
Yes.
Always.
Always. And I don't know if you saw the notes that I put in the chat that the wonderful author, Mr. Mark, whose last name I still can't pronounce properly.
The magician?
No, Mark, who is the author of the Kolchak Night Stalker companion.
Oh, Mark Dowiziak.
Thank you, Mr. Dowiziak.
Yes.
Yes, that's him. Yes, his new book is right now on pre-order, the book about Mr. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, he is, it's supposed to be released, of all days, Edgar Allan book is to be released on Valentine's Day.
I think it's appropriate.
Apropos. Give your dearest something to really say, I love you by writing, listening, getting and reading about the guy who did the Raven.
You can always, you know, give him your telltale heart, right?
Yep.
Well done. Ooh, roses of Erin, violets of blue, telltale heart will scare the out of you.
Yes. Hey, you're such a wordsmith.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, it's never lost on me. You know, you brought up Mark. The amazing people that I've gotten to meet. Ever since I started fooling around with the idea of horror hosting and doing this radio program, I mean, we met authors, actors, just amazing, amazing people. Even just the people that are just into the genre. That's just never lost on me. How fortunate
that I do, Dale, because, you know, you go to these places, you meet people or some of the celebs you even get to meet and things like that and talk to. It's really an opportunity I never would have done if I, you know, I thought about every once in a while the different paths in my life that I've taken that would have taken me away to a point where I never would have attempted this. And I'm glad I took the path I did.
Yep.
And I'm glad I, one time just strolling around pre-pandemic.
True.
And we yanked you in the car.
Yes. And no one heard my pleas. Help me, help me, help me.
Quiet, you're coming with us. You know too much.
And now the tables are turned. You'll never be
rid of
me. Oh, my.
Especially since I'm thoroughly armed with Sister Knucklebuster's ruler. And snap.
Just, in the horror genre, though, there's just so many different arms and legs and tentacles to it, whether it's horror hosts or people who write, people who paint or draw or create in other manners. It's great.
Yeah.
I think there's even a few horror cooks out there. Now, that's a cool idea.
some what?
Oh, yeah, I think there's a Chef
Tomaine. Chef Tomaine, I like it. And they had this one lady on YouTube. She's the mortician lady. Oh my God, is she funny? She's awesome. She sounds a little bit like Penny Dreadful, and has some of the same facial features.
I tell you what, Penny Dreadful is such a amazing talent.
Rolling in talent. Any,
By talent, I mean it's the whole thing. She also does the writing, the producing. As far as I know, she does a lot of the editing, as well as in front of the camera. I mean, she is such a tremendous talent.
You know, and,
no kidding.
And she is someone who has presence. You know what I mean? That's hard to... It's hard to quantify for me sometimes what presence is, but you just know it, you recognize it when you see it.
Yes. Thus says the kitty in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joey's being real lovey-dovey right now. I don't know why.
It's a totally ulterior motive. Do not turn your back.
No, he's not sinister at all. He's a good boy. Joey's a good boy. Now, the only sinister cat I had was his sister. She was a hateful beast. Joe, he's a good fella.
Aww.
A wuss, but a good fella.
Yeah. But, yeah, speaking of cookbooks, let's at least we not forget our convivial person who does the conclusion of the show, Mr. Vincent Price, was a great connoisseur of the culinary arts.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Wrote at least two cookbooks and also an expert in the art world as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I believe. She did. My daughter's so cool. She gets me stuff either for Christmas or my birthday. I always can count on like a really cool book, and one of them she got me was a Vincent Price cookbook. Ha ha.
Nice.
Tells you how to cook Vincent Price. No.
Vincent Price. Flambe.
Yeah, his family history had some cooking and baking in it. I believe maybe his grandfather came up with the first recipe for tartar sauce. Didn't he work for a candy company for a while?
They started a candy company, actually.
Yeah, his family did. That's
right. Before the Depression, and I think the Depression smacked their finances somewhat, but... He was far from growing up poor.
Yeah.
He even got a print of a Rembrandt sketch. I think it was a I don't know how my knowledge of art is. Yeah. But he got sort of a print when he was 13. And he paid half then and half later to the dealer. And he said one of the most agonizing things is when he was starting out, he was still young, struggling, he had to sell it because he had to eat.
That sucks because obviously later in life he had such an appreciation for the arts.
I think even in somewhere in Los Angeles there's a gallery that has his name on it, because he just believed art should be out there with the masses, not just for some elite few, you know. Ew,
yeah.
Aren't we posh?
Probably a little.
Yeah,
Yeah. I've got a number of books either about and or by him. I never finished. I got stuck halfway through it, and then I just got distracted. But there's a good book about his relationship with his dog, named Joe. He had a dog named Joe. Yeah.
Aww.
It's definitely written by someone who loves dogs, and I don't mean just, you know, some people love dogs, but like you could tell he understood his dog.
Yeah.
All his emotions and stuff like that. There's so much to them. You know what I mean? Their body language and everything. And he was clearly very observant, and I could tell in the writing of this book. But I like him already. If you like animals, I like you already.
Well, there you go.
You're probably a good soul.
It's just a universal person. I would love to, what I wouldn't give to see him when he was not even 29 years old when he got the plum stage role with Helen Hayes to play Prince Albert from her Queen Victoria. Prince Albert in Again, that's right. And Victoria Regina.
I was saving that.
You remind me when you mentioned that, CW, his role in Tower of London. He was so young in that, 1939. It was even before Shock. And Shock's a good movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't realized how many things had been inspired by that movie.
Oh, and you want to see him more on the comedic side when he was very young. Champagne for Caesar.
I have to check that out. I
haven't seen that one.
I think that's either on your archive.org or it may be on YouTube.
So
it's an archive.
Okay.
Maybe there's a chance it's PD.
Yeah, so what was the name of that one again?
Champagne for Caesar.
Champagne for Caesar.
And it may very well be in the Exalted PD.
That would be awesome.
That would
Wouldn't
be.
Wouldn't it, Dave?
Yes, it would be.
I'm going down the silent path. When I fire up the movies again, when I start hosting films again, hopefully not too distant future, I definitely am exploring silent film. I want to do a lot of Georges Méliès.
And pre-code. Definitely a lot of pre-code has fallen into the PD, the public domain categorization. And some of it is actually kind of salty. I was surprised. I didn't realize people knew that word back then.
Yeah.
I thought it was an invention we had.
There's some pretty raw stuff. I saw clips from a Tarzan and his mate. I'm like, holy cow. That is...
We're talking way before Charlie's Angels.
Yep.
She was in the au naturel.
Yeah. But artfully done, too, where it wasn't like...
Wow. Dale, it is on the Internet Archive, but it's United Artists release. Not a lot of those are in public domain, are they?
Arg.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Some of them are in public domain. There is one. It was made in the 1970s. Kind of, sort of, I think.
It's on the archive, you say? Let me check.
It is, yeah. Well. It is on the archive.
Mm-hmm.
From 1950.
Hmm. Oh, 1950? Man, that doesn't mean much.
It just depends on making sure, you know, if they kept all of their rights and...
Right, because they used to have to renew that, what, every 6 years, Dale? Something like that?
I'm not an expert on that.
Yeah, and it also depends on who actually had the final rights, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Harry Hopkin Productions.
So that could make it. That could make it public domain, because that was the production company.
I'm not finding it. Why not?
I got a poll. Champagne for Caesar. Caesar. C-E-A.
Champagne.
You got Ronald Coleman in it. It's quite a cast there.
Oh, yeah. Celeste Holm.
Yeah.
That's funny because Vincent Price was caught up for a short time in, I think, that $64,000 question investigation scandal thing.
that's the only thing he was ever really. And I mean, he was in and out of that. He was like, yeah, he's not a problem here.
But yeah,
there was some
yeah.
kind of investigation that was real big. Do you remember that day with the game shows?
Well, yeah, there were, some of the game shows were fixed to get more viewers.
Yeah, they were rigged.
There is on YouTube a colorized version of Champagne for Caesar.
Well, if somebody colorized it, unless they did it themselves. I'm looking. He was the one that produced Ten Little Indians in 1966 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not listing what sort of, my guess is that it is not public domain.
That really was my, because I'm getting some of this information off of TCM, Turner Classic Movies website. So yeah,
in some areas of the archive, it tells you if it's like collective commons or public domain.
Right.
Or
yeah, and
it's not saying anything.
It's a copyright not renewed. They'll say no date on film.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's usually what happens with that. I don't see
this
anything.
Is also in an area of the archive that has a lot of stuff that I'm pretty sure is not public domain.
Unfortunately, yeah, because I tell you what, that might be fun to do that one. Well, I don't know, it's a full 2 hours. I can't do that one.
I saw somebody hosting a Brain from Planet Eris. I did not think that was public domain.
Well, I saw another one that somebody was hosting that I was pretty sure was not. Are people not caring at this point?
Possibly.
Just trying to host something
maybe
different?
Maybe people are getting a little sloppy. I don't know.
Mm.
I figure I'm pretty safe with silent films.
Just a
if I go that route.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Think, yeah. I mean, Metropolis is in public domain, but since there was a couple of years ago, they found more pieces of Metropolis, and some people took it upon themselves to put it together. Is that not public domain anymore, that particular version?
If
that
they copyrighted
version,
it, they could
right.
claim it.
So, yeah.
That's the
so
thing.
They
you want to get an
it,
original
they...
version to avoid copyright issues because
right.
it's conceivable to make your own and copyright it.
Yes.
Well,
but you have to
took...
you have to make something changeable in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so if you take a black and white movie and if you have the home tech to colorize it, can you copyright it?
Yeah.
If it's
yes.
already in public domain?
Yes.
Whoa! Do I hear you Ching moneymaker here?
Get your crayons ready.
Well, you got to have the seed money to have the device that's going to colorize it and make it look good.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm sure you'd want to digitally remaster it a little bit so it really cleans up good.
Yeah.
You could probably get that done, do it at a university that has the film classes.
Mm-hmm.
Do it there on their stuff. Say, I'm doing this for my school project. Then
there
take it
go.
And say, oh, I just copyright this. It's mine.
Who knows? Who knows?
All right. I had no idea. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So usurp it.
Good.
That means Night of all right. You mean Night of the Living Dead if they do something different to it? Because it's in public domain? Somebody can copyright it?
With my old partner on streaming TV, we had permission to show Night of the Living Dead Reanimated. Have you ever seen that, CW?
No.
You got
to
hit
the post office box or something so we can send you stuff. What they did was they took the soundtrack from Night of the Living Dead, and it was a big project. They got all these animators, and each of them had their own style. And it, basically, it's an animated version, and like some of it looks like the Aha video, you know. Some of it looks, almost stick figure-like. Some of it looks, there's all these different styles. And they follow it, almost frame by frame, too. Each animator got different segments to do of the movie, of maybe a couple dozen animators.
Can't you transmit it via email?
I'm sure I could. Reach out to me at Dale K. Spook Show at AOL.com.
Dale K. Spook Show at AOL.com. Okay, I take it you don't care.
Yes, I still use AOL.
I think you don't care that that just went broadcasting all over the internet, or
no, not at all. I use that like for people to reach out to me. It's not like I get swarmed with offers, or although a few people found me, the Julian Stone. All of a sudden, I get this email from his agent. It's like, yeah,
that's
like
the email
to...
you gave me. You gave me the email. GoToHell.com. I, you know, make up your mind.
No wonder I never get emails from you. It's like our programmer Helen needs Wade. If you haven't heard your request, go to Helen Wade.
Yeah. Go to Helen Wade, yeah. Oh my.
Oh, that's one of my old DJ jokes. If you haven't heard your request, I got a new music programmer, Helen. I would do that to somebody who'd walk up to the booth. They had no idea what they were walking into. Okay, your name is Helen for a minute. What? Just follow along. This is our new programmer, Helen Wade.
Oh, really?
If you haven't heard your request, go to Helen Wade.
Oh, my.
That's a good one. Well, with that being said,
yes, probably
being said, because I can't top that one right now. I'm going to do my final obligation of the evening with
there
a one
go.
And a two. Mr. Durante, we're waiting.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
night.
It's time
good night.
To say good night.
Buenos noches. Someone get the goat.
What more is this say?
Let me get my goat,
Dave. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Horrible up we sing, and inconceivable.
And inconceivable.
Good night. Good night.
Medicaid.
Or good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
He's over there.
She's going to Mardi Gras and get some kunchki.
And now, folks, it's time to say good night. We sincerely appreciate your patronage.
Again?
And hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Got a complaint with Helen Wade.
Yeah. Get that goat out of there.